Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday. Happy May 5th. That's Cinco de Mayo. We celebrate by bringing Jeffrey back. George helped out last week. Welcome back, Jeffrey. Did you have a good trip?
Good to be back, Jeff. I had a great trip. Shout out, of course, to my mother and my mother-in-law that made the experience with my daughter more manageable.
Did you go in the ocean?
I did go in the ocean.
Did you see a shark?
Did not see a shark. Did see a lot of dolphins, though.
Saw dolphins.
I mean, in the distance. Like, I didn't go up and, like,
pet one.
Correct. I mean, I did see a lot of dolphins.
I did see someone. Someone is down there on the beach right now. There are some of my Facebook friends, and they must have a condo or something up in the air.
Yeah.
And they were videoing a shark out swimming.
Did not see sharks. Now, I was also not on the...
How deep do you go? Do you swim? Do you actually swim?
So I only went into the ocean with my daughter.
Okay.
So Excuse me, the Gulf, I should say.
The Gulf.
Of course.
So you weren't really... You weren't swimming
no,
straight
No, I was
out
not like going
yards.
To like the sandbar, you know, like where you go out.
But you had a good time.
We had a great time.
Well, that's good. It's good to have you back. Of course, the truth of the matter is, last week you did the radio show, your own radio show, all week long. So it's not like people broadly had to miss you, but those of us, the listeners of the Jeff Calkins Show, certainly missed you, even though George did a fabulous job filling in. We talk about Cinco de Mayo every Cinco de Mayo, Jeffrey. And so I ask you, do you recall what it celebrates?
Of course, Jeff. It is the Mexican... The Mexican victory over the French, I believe, at the Battle of Puebla.
Whoa! Nailed it!
Come on.
1862. It's not
Mexican Independence Day.
Not Mexican Independence. It's the Battle of Puebla in 1862, the French. And then what happened was, and the Mexicans were, they were outnumbered by
heavy
the French,
underdogs.
Heavy underdogs. But that's why they play the game. You know?
Exactly.
And they won.
And they got to play at home.
They did play at home. Then they won that one. But here's the thing. They were very quickly overrun after that. The French, it was not a, you know, they won game five, right? But here's the thing. The French won game six.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like the Rockets even, yeah.
And they took over they took over Mexico City and whatever else. Then what happened was game seven went to Mexico. It really, although... I don't know if we'd call it a game seven. What happened was is that French are in there, they're presiding over the place, and the U.S. Civil War ends, and we then start shipping arms and support and stuff to Mexico.
Yeah.
And Napoleon, would he have been around really around then?
No, this is
When was Napoleon? Maybe it's a different Napoleon. There's a whole bunch of Napoleons. When was Bonaparte?
So Napoleon Bonaparte's basically the end of the 18th century and the beginning of the 19th century.
Okay.
So, like, 1790.
Anyway, the French just said the hell with it, and they just yanked out.
Is that the third? But I thought he's way after that.
They just said the hell with it, and they yanked out. And then and Maximilian, who was running the things for the French, plus he had some Mexican
cohorts. So it would be Napoleon III.
There you go. Maximilian was executed, and whatever. And then Mexico takes over. So what happens is that this is not even a Cinco de Mayo is not even a national holiday in Mexico.
Right, it's a bigger American holiday.
It is a bigger American holiday, and that's partly because, and it's not just because of the recent emphasis on beer, although that's a lot of the recent popularity of it. What actually happened was is that Mexicans who were living in the United States, you know, whatever, maybe they were working on the gold rush or doing whatever else. They were excited. It did create this feeling of great
pride,
national pride,
yep,
particularly for those who did not actually so much live in Mexico. And so it became a big celebration in the United
States. They were listening on the radio.
Even before the beer, we opened the phone. The people opened the phones.
Yeah.
They called in. What do you think of the big win last year? The whole thing, right? And but then, of course, you know, recently the beer companies have gotten hold of it and made it even bigger. And now there are some reports that, in terms of beer sales, bigger than St. Paddy's Day.
That actually doesn't really surprise me.
Doesn't surprise you?
No. Also, because Cinco de Mayo is usually most everywhere, the weather's starting to get nicer, and so a little more outdoor. Yeah.
Anyway, happy Cinco de Mayo to all y'all. We do have sports to talk about today on the radio show. Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Chris was nice enough to send me. I got a lot of Bills stuff sent to me over the weekend. Chris was walking through the Twin Cities and saw someone flying their Bills flag. Sent a photo of that to me. There you are in enemy territory. That's great. And then two different people. I think there was a Buffalo.
Did you make the argument that person hates Stephon Diggs more than any other person?
There you go. You know, yeah. There's a pickup truck decorated in Bills colors. It's a jacked up pickup truck. And it was at Super Low yesterday. And multiple people sent me a picture wondering if I had abandoned the minivan life for a Buffalo Bills pickup truck. Sadly, no, I have not. It was funny. I did go to a Daily Memphian event at the Evergreen Grill last week. And when I pulled in, I was sitting there I was catching up on some emails before I went in on my mini. And when I went in, some of the people who work at the Daily Memphian are like, "You drive a minivan?" Particularly these were like, This was a couple of
clearly not
women
listeners.
In their young 30s who were helping organize the event, whatever.
Sure.
And they must not be listeners.
I was going to say, not
but
avid
I,
listeners.
I do actually get it. The notion that a 63-year-old man would be driving around in a minivan. Why? Right?
Well,
why?
Are they aware that you have three dogs that weigh about 120 pounds
apiece?
They
obviously don't know the brand. So I had to get them up to
this. This is how I shuttle. Dogs
I gather the it was an entertaining weekend, and I gather the Riverbeat Music Festival, talked to people who went and said that it was wildly successful and pretty well attended. So have you heard any reports?
So I'm like you. I was following along via reports, social media, whatnot, and I struggle to determine like what's PR and what's
the thing.
It seemed like the overwhelming response was positive, which I'm taking every win we can get.
You know, and I at the beginning of this year, I wrote a column saying it's time for Memphians to get out again, and particularly to go downtown again. Because the truth is that you can look at Memphis Tiger basketball attendance and say, "Ooh, attendance is down." Or you can look at Grizzlies attendance and say, "Ooh, attendance was down." Or you can look at Memphis football attendance and say, "Ooh, attendance is down." Or you look at the river festivals and say, "Ooh, attendance is down." Or you can look at downtown restaurants and say, "Ooh, attendance is down." And you start to realize it's not really because exclusively of each case is different. And it's not necessarily, however, because of the Grizzlies or the Tigers or Tiger football or the rest. It's not there is a trend here. And the trend is that during COVID, it appears people stopped doing it. And let's be honest, we need to be a vibrant city. And I mean, we have Sam Hardiman on every Wednesday He lives downtown, and he will tell you that statistically downtown is one of the safest areas in the entire region. And so it's nice to see. I hope it was a success. I only sort of know what I was loosely keeping track of on social media. And then also the people who went down there said it was a big success. So that is great.
Seems like the acts really like put on great shows too. It seems like everybody that went to the shows, like I thought that was a great performance.
Yeah, I heard very good things about Friday night. And I haven't heard as much about since. But anyway, okay, we do have sports to talk about. Let's get to the breaking news first, Jeffrey. And that is that Sharon Moore, the head coach of the University of Michigan, will be suspended for 2 games at the beginning of this coming football season for his involvement with the Connor Stallions case. Now, this is not – they play Oklahoma early.
Right, so they got to pick the games.
And they got to pick the games. And one of them's Nebraska, and one of them, what's the other?
Central Michigan.
And Central Michigan.
So weeks
Central
3 and 4.
And he will not be involved in practice either. Now, this is self-imposed punishments. He will not be involved in practice either. Unlike when Harbaugh wasn't coaching, he would coach during the week, and
but
then he just wouldn't
day.
Coach on game day. Here, he's not going to be allowed to coach, period. This was in connection, in particular, with he deleted a text message string that he had with Connor Stallions. Now, I did later, literally on the day that the news broke that this thing happened, he did went and deleted the messages.
Yeah.
They supposedly did retrieve them, however, later. And I don't think there is. I think it's hard to delete things permanently these days. But anyway, he's out for 2 games. The NCAA could impose more penalties. What do you make of this particular penalty?
I mean, this feels like it's a negotiated settlement.
It's 100% feels like it's a negotiated settlement. Yeah.
So
it doesn't feel like they will impose more.
And obviously, Sharon played at Oklahoma.
Right, so he didn't want to miss Oklahoma.
He doesn't want to miss that game for the sentimental reasons. I don't know. This is just kind of one of those ones where it's like, we're still doing this.
Well, we're still doing what? Like, it's true with anything.
The Connor Stallions thing.
Yeah.
You know,
with
like,
anything.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? What? It's the toothless NCAA. It's who cares?
Well, what does this prove? But I mean, I guess if they feel like
they still won the national championship, whatever. It's. But anyway, that was the breaking news from this morning. The breaking news Friday, which once again did not happen during our show because we don't get those advantages here on our show, is that the Memphis Grizzlies finalized and made it official. Their head coach will be. You know, I still don't think people say it right.
I think it's one of those ones where it's very, that Ia, it's.
Well, no, I actually struggle. I think that.
I think we're good on Tuomas.
Actually, I was going to say this. The Isolo,
mm-hmm.
No one's going to extend it in that way. Isolo. Like, you're just like, yeah, your coach, Isolo. Like, you know, so we've gone with Isolo. And I think Isolo's Isolo is a. Is a perfectly reasonable compromise on what his actual name is. Let's say that. Isolo. What's wrong with Isolo?
Isolo's
fine.
I keep hearing like a Ia.
Isolo. We're not going to do that. We're just going to do Isolo,
okay.
And that's fine. I struggle with the Tuomas. How do you even get your mouth to say that? Tuomas?
Tuomas.
Say it.
Tuomas.
Tuomas.
Correct.
Tuomas. Like T-W-O-M-A-S.
Correct.
Tuomas. Tuomas Isolo.
Correct.
I think that's right. If you think of it as T-W-O-M-A-S.
Yes.
And it's important we do this now because he's not in interim anymore. Tuomas Isolo. Tuomas Isolo. Yeah. Okay. That seems fine. Was it surprising? No.
So as you said.
The timing was surprising.
It did feel news dumpy. Can we agree on that?
It absolutely 100%.
But you had pointed out when the players came out and said what they did. You're like, this is where this is headed.
Well, and yeah, it's it's funny because like Gabe would ask me, now they have to do a big nationals. And I'm like, no, they're clearly not. Like they're clearly not going to do a. And so I guess when something is so clearly going one way and I don't have a strong conviction about it either way, I'm not pounding the table for a national search when they're in a league-wide search, when they're very clearly not going to do a league-wide search. They were going to hire Tuomas Iisalo, and so be it. And that's what they did. And why Friday? Like, I heard other people saying, what's the hurry? If you know he is going to be your coach, why wait? What is there to be gained by doing it next week or the next week or the next week or the next week if you know he's going to be your coach? I guess if you wanted to, like, is there anything to be gained by going through the charade of a search? If you knew he was going to be your coach, he's the guy you want to be your coach. And in fact, and Drew Hill has written about this, that basically back in Europe when he was hired to be the interim coach, people there thought it was a done deal, that he was going to be the head coach. He was sort of at a, this is going to last for a little bit. Taylor's going to get fired at some point, and he's going to be the head coach. That was, you could call it conspiracy theories or whatever, but that was 100% from various people in Europe. That was the thinking when he was pried away.
I would imagine
to the
they have,
in the first place.
Because, you know, there's some type of litigation. I don't know if it's a lawsuit. It's over in Europe, but it's something about the way that the Grizzlies hired him away. And so my assumption was they have the information that one way or another, he was going to wind up being the coach.
It's very clear that they thought. So if you know he's going to be the coach, and they very clearly did know he was going to be the coach, they had decided he was going to be the coach, why wait? Now, doing it Friday at 2 o'clock feels news dumpy. It feels like, honestly, it feels like you're doing something that you don't think it's going to get you a lot of plaudits from the fan base.
We had a massive game 7, a massive game 6. You had a bunch of other, like, you know, you had the Kentucky Derby. Like, there was a lot of stuff.
Well, we had Pop.
Yes,
we had,
Popovich.
We had Pop, and I don't know. I don't think they.
To me, when he had the second health incident, that was like, okay, this is probably over. But right. It was the same thing.
Yeah, Pop, and then the news that Mitch Johnson was going to be getting that job. So it 100% felt like a news dump in terms of my level of surprise. It was only, no, I didn't expect it to be Friday any more than I expected it to be Thursday or Wednesday or today. Like, and I would have thought, I thought maybe another week would go by before they'd make the announcement, but whatever. I have no problem. Once you know that he is going to be your head coach, I have no problem with the decision to go ahead and announce it. Might as well. Why did they do it? I think it's, they obviously liked him, or they wouldn't have pried him out of Europe to come here, right? They thought highly of him all along. They worked with him all year long and thought highly of him all year long. And then I don't think much hinged on in the end, it was 15 games that he coached for the Grizzlies. I think what did matter is that they got the endorsement of the players. And in particular, Ja Morant comes out at the end of the year presser and doesn't just sort of endorse him. He uses enthusiastic language of the sort that I honestly never heard Ja use when he was talking about Taylor Jenkins, to talk about how he was excited to work with Iisalo. And so I think what happened was they liked him. They believed in him. They worked with him all year long. They liked him. They believed in him. And they then gave him the job on an interim basis. And at the end of that, they saw that the players endorsed him and wanted him. And so they said, fine, that's what we're going to do. And I do think it is an unpopular decision, don't you?
Fan base, yes, I do.
Yeah, it's an unpopular decision with the fan base. Why is it an unpopular decision with the fan base?
I think because it feels like it's just doubling down. It's more of the same.
Yeah, I would say there's a few reasons that you would criticize it, and then I think people have criticized it. Let's go through some of them. One is, honestly, he didn't give him a bump at all. Like, in terms of if you're just judging by what happened after he became the head coach, there were positive things you can look at. Like, Ja was better and more engaged. First, he freaking came back to play. He came back to play.
Yeah.
He played hard. He was engaged. So Ja was better. Scottie Pippen was really good. and elevated in the lineup. Zach Edey was better. When he took over, it's not just that they were losing to then they were losing like during the course of the year, they'd beaten good team they'd beaten bad teams and lost to good teams. Right before the Taylor Jenkins firing, they had lost to Portland, they had lost to Sacramento, they had lost to Atlanta at home, they'd lost to San Antonio at home. Like they were in it. They'd quit.
Yeah.
Right? And they no longer quit. It did feel like there wasn't much. You can argue they quit at the second half of the game one against Oklahoma City or whatever. But as a organization, if they had dropped the rope, they picked the rope up again.
Yeah, to me, it was like there was a noticeable
uptick
in effort.
In effort, right.
But I was always curious of how much of it, though, was just Ja came back. I don't think you can divorce yourself. No, what if that's related?
Yeah, Ja came back. But fundamentally, listen, he coached 15 games and they were 5-10.
Yeah.
So if you want to, and there were things to criticize within that. There was the 5-second call where they couldn't get the ball in the play-in game. Like, is that a coaching decision? There was a questionable work on challenges. Like in game four, OKC has two successful challenges. The Grizzlies don't have a challenge. People wondered about that. He blew a 29-point lead at home. He lost another game by 51 points.
Yep.
Like there's plenty to look at in this record and say, yeah, that one didn't persuade me. There was nothing there that persuaded me. There's sure some good stuff. Ja's happy. But if in the end it's given me a 5-10 record and
it was largely the same scripts.
Yeah, it was. And
they
can't
beat the bad teams.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And so, I mean, they beat Detroit. That was like the one good win he had. They were competitive.
But that game had some context.
One reason to not like it is what the hell did he prove? In the 15 games, and I think the answer is it's mixed at best. I think the second reason to be skeptical of it is you wanted an experienced head coach, and there are experienced head coaches out there. It seems like a critical moment in the franchise, and you wanted an experienced, proven NBA head coach. Now, it's interesting because Chris Harrington, who wrote about this, I'd urge you to read his column about in the Daily Memphian about this hiring. He went through the Grizzlies coaches who have been hired who had not had head coaching jobs before, NBA head coaching jobs before, and who was successful and who was not, right?
Yep.
And the ones that were successful, Jaeger and Jenkins,
mm-hmm.
right? They had been head coaches at other levels.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They'd been
whatever. I think Dave was in the D League at the time and Taylor had been in the G League.
Yeah. And so then the ones that were not, Fizdale and Ivarone,
full time assistants.
And JB, honestly, had been an interim, but JB hadn't been, they had all been full time assistants. They hadn't been off their coaching, being actual head coaches. And if you're looking at that, you're like, well, Isilo is more. He's cut from the Jenkins
head coach
and
at
Jaeger.
A different level.
He had been
yeah.
a head coach at a different level. He is wired to be a head coach. That's all true. But you know who was really successful as head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies? Hubie Brown.
Yep.
Lionel Hollins. Mike Fratello. They had all been. In fact, since they became the Memphis Grizzlies, they have not hired a head coach at Memphis who had been a head coach previously who was not successful.
Yeah.
They're all 100% successful.
Well, and Cerritto made this point, and I thought it was pretty good. For all the talks about struggling to sign free agents, and that's true. You know, it's the market oftentimes dictates that. Because there's only 30 GM jobs and 30 head coaching jobs, they've actually had some success getting fairly big names, you know,
as head coaches.
As head coaches because yeah.
I think they could have gotten a head coach now. They could have gotten an experienced head coach now. So one is reasons this is unpopular. One is and it isn't. I don't know if it's wildly unpopular, but if you ask, do you like the hire, yes or no?
I think it was a big shrug.
But mostly no. More no than yes.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
Grizz fans, do you like the hire of Tuomas Isilo? And they're gonna say no. Not overwhelmingly. Do you support the hire of Tuomas Isilo? And they're gonna say no. That's my guess. Okay, so
sorry, do you support
the hire of Tuomas Iisalo? Make sure you spell it. Both the first and last name are kind of tricky there. And then my prediction is we're going to get no's here. I don't think it's enraged at all. I think it's, like you said, it's more of a shrug. But to the extent that it's unpopular, didn't have a successful record once he became the head coach, is not an experienced head coach, and it feels like a critical moment. But then the other one is, and I struggle with this one, and in fact, I am not opposed to the hire, just to be clear. I'll get to that in a minute. People want toughness, right? People want, I want a tough coach. And they want someone who can stand up to Ja, right? They want someone who can, and I just, I'll say this. I don't know how we know if Iisalo is or isn't a tough coach. And I do think that a lot of the ways that people are judging him are purely stereotypical. He's a European guy. How can he be a tough? How can he have the credibility, you know, with players and whatever? Because he's a European dude. And
didn't play in the NBA, Jeff.
He didn't. Yeah. I mean, let's look at it. It's the same thing that why Knicks fans booed Kristaps Porzingis getting drafted. It's the same thing why people wondered.
Whether Luka would be
successful. Oh, he did that in Europe. How good could he be? Those numbers. Yeah, he's not really athletic. Wait till he deals with the athleticism of the NBA. And Iisalo is this, he's this guy. He's from Europe. He's Finnish. How freaking tough could he be?
See, I'm going to push back a little on that. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist in other things. I think with this one, it's hyper-specific in that he just feels like, oh, this is another extension of the organization doing that.
Well, that's another thing. Is it we aren't going to hire a big personality? We want someone who's going to be corporate and is going to be not a big personality, and we know we can work with. And so we, the smartest people in the world, can continue to call the shots, right? And there is a certain smugness to it. Right,
it's like a doubling down of we know better
of our system. Yes, we know better, and I think that too. I guess what I would say for all of this, and I'll say this: I don't think it helps their branding issue. Like, I think the team right now has a branding issue in the way that they connect with the city. Like, you saw the way that Memphis supported and showed out when we had Tony Allen night, stayed for an hour listening to Tony Allen ramble, and. And I don't think there is that connection right now with the city. I don't think people love this team as much as they loved that team, even in retrospect. Like, whatever. I know we can romanticize it.
No, I think it's true, though.
And I don't think that Iisalo helps there at all. Like, he's another, you know, coolly calculating, seems like, whatever. I don't think he helps with the branding. I think they have some work to do on the branding, I'll be honest. But am I going to definitively say I think it's a bad hire? Not at all. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is our ability to know who is going to be a good or bad hire is almost nil. We thought Fizdale was going to be great. Total disaster. He had a decent year, one decent year, but he came in here.
Even that team fell apart.
Right. And Ivarone, he was the hottest coach. Literally, you could not have hired.
Could have changed basketball, remember?
He was going to change basketball. 5 seconds or less, baby. He was part of the Phoenix coaching tree. Whereas, by contrast, Lionel, they gave Lionel a year and a half contract. That's how much even the owner believed in Lionel. Gave him a year and a half contract. And let's be honest, Lionel's the greatest coach they've ever had. Lionel is the greatest coach they've ever had. And was a not at all popular hire. Dave Yeager, Hubie Brown, what the hell are you doing? Taking this old man out of mothballs? Hubie, who literally just...
Some people thought we hired the coach from Bartlett High School.
Just some people thought it was just crazy. That hire was absolutely eviscerated. The hire of Lionel was absolutely eviscerated by me. I didn't eviscerate the Hubie Brown one, but I 100% said, what the hell are they doing? Given hiring a guy, if you believe in him, give him more than a year and a half contract. Don't just be cheap. It was all part of the
process.
The organization is cheap at the time, and this looked like another cheap move. And absolutely, the hottest hires, people thought Jaeger was, whatever. Some people liked Jaeger, but there was a whole Jaeger stabbing Lionel in the back, whatever thing going on there. So we got no idea. We got no idea. And I would venture that with Isolo, we really have no idea.
No, I think that's...
Is he tough? Is he not tough? Is he going to stand up to... Does he have his own opinions? We have no idea. How the hell can... We project. We project what we think. We have no idea. And then, so that is one. I just think we should have a lot of humility around our ability to say who's going to be a good coaching hire and who isn't, right? And what matters here is that he's good, not that he wins the press conference, if there's going to be a press conference. I guess there's going to be a press conference. Is there going to be a press conference?
I would hope so.
You would think there would be a press conference, but anyway.
What else is he going to put on the wall in his office?
So you got to have a press conference. So you would think, you got to have him holding up the jersey.
Yeah.
So it matters how good he is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he wins the press. And then the other thing is, I do think that his ability to get the best out of the actual roster that the Grizzlies have is critical. And I do think, listen, you can't turn on a national NBA podcast without them talking about Ja being traded, right?
Or, I mean, there was a lot of ink spilled last week.
Yeah, about Ja being traded. The fact that Ja endorsed him, and the fact that he apparently was unlocking the best of Ja is critical, is absolutely critical. And it suggests that the Grizzlies are, in fact, no, I do not expect the Grizzlies to move on from Ja. Don't you think that this coaching hire 100% indicates what they're doing around Ja? And by the way, another really important player who he's been able to unlock in a brief time is Zach Edey.
Yes. I mean, to me, I felt like I was somewhat taking crazy pills because when I listened to Zach's exit interview, the first thought I had was like, oh, he's quadrupling down on, I'm in the Ja Morant business.
Yes. Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think that's a indefensible position.
Well, as Chris put it last week, and then we were talking about the John Hollinger piece that he had done on the Grizzlies, he said, the problem is that which is a better bet in terms of success? That you can get the level of play that you want from Ja, that you can get superstar play from Ja, or that you can get it from the player that you would trade Ja for.
Right.
Right? And and you can argue, I only feel about 6 out of 10, 60% chance confident that I can get consistent superstar play from Ja going forward. I'm a little shaky on that right now, right?
Well, I think it's mainly everybody's shaky on
between injury and everything. Yeah, and then there's, what is my level of confidence that I could get superstar play from the player who I traded Ja for? 0. 10%, 20%, like whatever. It seems wildly unlikely. Now, mind you, when Oklahoma City traded Paul George, they did. They got a player that they got superstar play from in the end, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So it's not impossible to pull off a deal that looks great in retrospect. But if I were the Grizzlies, I would be in the let's get the best out of Ja business. And if I were in the let's get the best out of Ja business, I think I'd hire Tuomas Isolo.
See, I'm with you up until the very anti Tuomas, and I'm not.
Right.
I just think it's they believe.
Well, they very clearly believe, but also Ja has so far endorsed the idea.
Right, but the part of the problem is it's kind of a
hypothetical. And we've seen a small sample size of it.
It's kind of a hypothetical, though, because the other options
you really don't know.
Right.
Right. The other option could be some hard-ass coach who comes in here and alienates Ja.
Yeah.
Could be some hard-ass
coach. Could be a hard-ass coach that
lifts Ja up. Yeah, no, we don't know. And here's the truth. We'll never know.
Exactly.
We will know what happens on this path. Okay. We weren't going to do a Jeff Calkins show poll, but it came up. And so just to get the taste of the fan base, and my suspicion is it's going to be negative. And we're not doing this to be negative. We're just trying to get a sense of it. And again, I don't think people are furious about it. Do you support the Grizzlies hiring of Tuomas Iisalo as the head coach? Yes or no? So far, very close, Jeffrey, right?
Yep. 53.6% say no. 46.4% say yes.
I just voted yes, and it popped up for me 52 and 48. Maybe yours is more current, or maybe mine is more current. But anyway, it's close.
Yep.
It's close. That's up. You know what we'll do? We'll take calls on this. 445-0929. I don't honestly expect a lot of calls on this, but maybe. Do you support the hiring of Iisalo as the new coach? We have a lot of other things to get to as well. So if you're not feverishly passionate about this, we will move on. But that was the news that broke on Friday. We got Chris Harrington to talk about it straight up at 10 o'clock. We're going to take a break. Before we do, I will tell you the Frame Corner is the place to go if you want something framed. That stands to reason, right? Sam Hardiman got his hole-in-one. Did you hear that, Jeffrey? Sam Hardiman got a hole-in-one last week. And so what did he do? He immediately went to Frame Corner because who the hell would know how to frame a golf ball? Not me. Not me. But they're expert at custom framing at the Frame Corner. They've been doing it for 50 years. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. We'll take your calls and talk about all this and more on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We will take your calls. I don't expect many because I don't think that people are fired up about Iisalo either way. But we have a poll up, Jeffrey. What's the poll say right now?
Jeff, do you support the Grizzlies hiring of Tuomas Iisalo as the Grizzlies head coach? 59% now say yes.
Look at that.
41% say no.
445-0929, 445-0929 is the phone number. Who do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we start with Frank at the Skybox in Kyrville. Frank, you're on.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Jeff, you know, he's not, I mean, Udoka tough, but I kind of support it. I like him.
I like him.
Hope he does. I mean, you know, I hope he doesn't have to run it back, you know, with the team that we had last year. We beat all the bad teams and lose to all the good ones, but I like him. I think it's a good hire.
Good. Thanks. Appreciate it. And then I got an email from Jay. This is an email. We got more calls coming in. Love the hire. Dude has a track record of building winners. He will adapt to the NBA, and the Finns are a tough group of people. And in his 15 games, he had a bunch of hurt players and played the goddamn Thunder. And by game 3 and 4, was figuring them out. Also had a different assistant that ran the wide spacing thing with Taylor. Now he's calling the shots. They will win 55 next year. That's from Jay. Love the hire. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we got a Steve in Millington. Steve, you're on.
Steve, how are you?
Doing great. Could you add a third category? Totally ambivalent.
Totally ambivalent or agnostic? Do you not care or do you not know?
How about both? Maybe add two categories, Jeff.
Right. Totally ambivalent. All right. Well, we can do that. We can do that, Steve. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. So totally ambivalent. Well, we sort of suggested that too, as well.
I don't know if is agnostic. I guess, yeah, I don't know.
Don't faith in it one way or another. I just don't know.
Is it just apathy?
Yeah, but it's also, I don't have apathy about it. I do acknowledge that I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
So it's not that I don't care. It's that I don't know. I fundamentally support it, though, for the reasons that we just heard and that the Jay outlined. And here's the other thing, Jeffrey, and I don't know, we didn't have you here last week as the Grizzlies wrapped up their season. I think it was a discouraging season. It was clearly a discouraging end to the season, and it's a team that has some work to do. I also think that you can look around and say, you know what? Things aren't so bad. The case for things not being so bad, you've got three, at least for now, three very good players. They may not be what we had hoped they would be as a trio, but you got three very, very good players. In addition, you started two rookies, and Jalen Wells and Zach Edey. You had Ja playing basically half the games. Despite that, you won nearly 50 games. You won 48 games with two rookie starters and with Ja injured for much of the season. This isn't a team that can win 52 or 55 games next year, just literally based on internal improvement, and I will believe they will do more than simply focus on internal improvement. And if you look around at all these teams who have supposedly blown past them, I don't know. How are the Clippers feeling today, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm with you. I think there's only one team has blown past them, the Thunder.
The Thunder have blown
everybody
past
else
them.
Has kind of had an up or down year. Like,
I mean, Minnesota's obviously put it together. They played great down the stretch, and they're having yet another good playoff.
But they had a down year last year.
They also have, well, they also have. They
are not last
they're
year.
They're not last year. Yeah, they didn't. They went. Yeah, they had a nice playoff run 2 years in a row now.
Yeah.
But Rudy Gobert is old, and Randall is whatever. He's on last year. Like, he's expensive, and who knows how long he'll be there. It's not. And Mike Conley's old. He's not going to play forever, I don't believe. So, like, they're not some young team that's going to necessarily continue this. Obviously, Ant is young, and he's great, and they have a lot of great pieces. But I'm not willing to concede that they've blown past you. They were one game better than you in the regular season.
And you beat them 3 out of 4 times.
The Lakers, deeply flawed, and LeBron is old. The Warriors, God bless them, getting the win over Houston, but they're old as hell. Have they blown by you? The Clippers, old as hell. Have they blown by you? Who exactly? Dallas is Kyrie with a out for the year. Like, who exactly besides Oklahoma City has blown by you? Denver obviously is doing again in the playoffs, and good for them. They've got a superstar.
But the final four of the Western Conference is the 1 seed, the 4 seed, the 6, and the 7.
Yeah, and you can imagine circumstances where it could have been you, or next year could be you very clearly. So I don't think, like, I get and I understand why people are disappointed and checked out, let's be honest, at the end of the season. But I don't think things are as grim as some would want to paint them to be. 445-0929. We'll take a few calls on this, then we will move on.
Jeff, let's go to Michael in Memphis.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, good morning. Enjoying your show.
Thanks. What do you think?
I support the hire because I support the Grizzlies. I don't know all the politics and behind the scenes and the motives and things that go into them changing, but I'm going to support them because I support the team. I'm wishing for the best, and I think a lot of people may not have agreed because they had grown fond of Taylor, which I had grown fond of Taylor as well. But, you know, if you look at it realistically, the learning phase, you know, it has to come to an end, and you have to grow and progress. So I'm not really sure what all went into it. But if it's a positive move, I'm hoping for it to be a positive move.
Thank you.
I'm just going to support the group.
Appreciate it. Through thick or thin. He's through thick or thin. I'd be honest. I like hearing him talk about basketball. I think Isolo talks about basketball.
I like his bluntness.
In a way that makes sense to me. Yes. And honestly, I said this on Twitter, speaks a lot clearer English than Taylor Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what he's saying. He seems like he's pragmatic. He has his philosophies. It'll be interesting. One thing that'll be interesting is that we know the new offense was not his offense for much of the year. But we do know that his philosophy did involve playing lots of players and limiting. He didn't do that once he took over because of the state of the roster and the urgent need to get W's, right?
Yeah, he's a pragmatist.
What's that going to look like when he's back for a full season? We don't know.
He has a training camp. Yeah, he gets to implement all that he wants to do.
Who are we going to?
Jeff, let's go to D-Midge in East Memphis. D-Midge, you're on.
Jeff, good morning on this manic Monday. How are you, man?
I'm good, and you?
I'm pretty good, I suppose.
So what do you think?
Hey, real quick, Jeff.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know what? With a 5-10 record, Jeff, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not too pleased or happy, man. You know, I mean, this was his interview for us, really. If you talked about an interview earlier. With a 5-10 record, what do we really have to look forward to with this guy for next year? We kind of see what we
I'm
got,
looking
what
forward to 55 wins is what I'm looking forward to.
Jeff, he couldn't even give us a gentleman sweep. Okay? You were up by 29 and you lost that.
Yes. I understand the criticism.
He's just way smarter than us.
Now, of the 5-10 record,
I don't know about this.
Of the 5-10 record, he was 5-6 before an Oklahoma City series that everyone expected to be a sweep, right?
And they were still, dogs in every game.
And they were dogs in every game. In fact, I wonder, of their 15 games that he played, I wonder how many games in the end of those he was favored in. How many did he win as a favorite? And also, by the way, how about this one? Here's another. This maybe this sounds like excuses. Played 15 games. You know how many practices he had?
How many?
Two. Yeah.
Had two practices. Yeah.
This is a grit and grind city. We would have been okay if you would at least gave us one win in the playoffs. You're the new coach coming in.
You really think that would have made a difference? One win in the playoffs would have made a difference to how you feel about hiring him? I think people say this. He said, we're a grit and grind city. He's a Finn. Okay. How can he possibly be grit or grind? I think that stereotype is causing people to, he can't possibly be grit and grind. He's Finnish, for God's sakes. But that is projecting, and that is unfair.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it, and I like the birds in the background, too. Where are you? Are you outside in your backyard?
Yeah, I'm taking the smoke, man.
See you, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. I expected more of those, honestly. Jeffrey, what's the current state of things? How's our poll doing?
Jeff, with 92 votes tallied so far, do you support the Grizzlies hiring of Tuomas Iasalo as the head coach? 59.8% say yes, 40.2% say no.
Good for you all, people. Here's one thing, Jeffrey. We'll wrap that up. I do think there is part of the apathetic thing is we just saw the retirement of one of the greatest NBA coaches that has ever been, Greg Popovich. And I think there is a serious question, let's be honest, whether we really think Popovich mattered that much or if we think he's just, in the end, they're greatest ever. Here, let's take two greatest coaches ever. We've got the greatest coach in NFL history, Bill Belichick, one of them, and we've got the greatest coach in NBA history, one of them, in Popovich. And with Popovich, you're like, oh, man, he was great. How about those sideline interviews, man? Yeah, that was great. How about the sideline interviews? And listen, what I admired about Pop was that he was willing to use his platform to speak his mind on matters outside of basketball. I admired that about Pop, and I think he was probably a really good coach. I also think having Tim Duncan and David Robinson make someone a really good
Tony
coach.
Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili.
And after they were gone, they lost a lot of games.
Well, I mean,
and Bill Belichick.
I said this on Friday, and I don't know if this is a trend, but it's something to note. Every team so far that has had a coaching move, they've kept their interim so far.
Every coach, yes.
Sacramento kept their interim.
Mitch Johnson, Doug Christie in Sacramento, Mitch Johnson in San Antonio.
And likely Edelman's going to keep
Edelman's
the gig.
And certainly going to keep his job right in Denver, 100%.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, though? Does that mean people just like continuity, or do people think coaches they want cheap, or people think coaching doesn't make a difference? Or
I think my theory is that teams are now saying we want someone that is involved, because a lot of these guys came from either the G League or whatnot. It's guys that have been in their organization that understand.
Everyone wants the corporate culture.
Correct.
We don't want to hire someone who comes in with all these big ideas and whatever else and disrupts and blows things up and whatever else, like Fizdale did here, for example.
Well, I mean, at this point, Mike Malone's probably going to not get a gig, right?
I guess, yeah.
And Mike Brown's probably not going to be a head coach?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe they'll pick one up, mid-year next year or something. Who knows? All right. Enough of the Grizzlies. We'll talk more about
them. The Grizzlies were only favored 5 times in Tuomas's.
And they won 5 games.
Correct.
So there you go. Mind you, you do want a coach who can win games that you're not supposed to win, too.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying.
That's true, too. I'm not saying he crushed his interview.
No, I think you and I are kind of saying the same thing, which is
there were some good things. There were some bad things. There was the result was whatever. And let's be honest. We were hoping for the best here. And he could be absolutely tremendous. We just do not know. There was a lot of gripping sports over the weekend. Nothing more gripping than Game 7 in the NHL playoffs.
Which one?
The Winnipeg St. Louis series.
Because Dallas and Colorado was
Dallas
insane
and Colorado
too.
Was pretty insane too, by the way. Like Colorado traded away a player because he wasn't going to sign at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And he was too expensive. He did want to stay there. They just didn't want to give him the money.
The big deal.
They didn't want to give him the big money. Great player, Mika Rantanen. They trade him to Carolina. Carolina realizes he's not going to sign there either. And so they trade him to Dallas. Carolina is in the East. Dallas is in the West. So all of a sudden, Colorado is faced with a seven-game series.
How's it going?
Playing their old dude who they did not want to pay. And in game seven, they're down two goals. He scores a hat trick. That's three goals, ladies and gentlemen. He scores a hat trick to lift Dallas to the win over Colorado and eliminating Colorado. So that was, yes, gripping. But nothing more gripping than you're down 3-2. Winnipeg, which had won the President's Trophy, which means you had the best regular season in NHL in the NHL this year. They won the President's Trophy, and they got the best goalie in Connor Hellebuyck. And Connor Hellebuyck stinks throughout the series. He's terrible. He's pulled in three games. When you're, it's like pulling your relief, like pulling your pitcher after two innings. Most goalies aren't pulled. He's pulled three times during this series. St. Louis is on the verge of winning the series. They're up 3-2, and then they different kind of pull their goalie. Like they pull the goalie to get the extra attacker. Right. And you've seen this if you watch any NHL, the scramble in the last minute to try to get a goal. You've got one extra player. You're playing 6-on-5. But the puck is in the corner as the final seconds are playing out. And St. Louis is going to beat Winnipeg, and they're going to advance, and Winnipeg is going to be crushed. So the puck comes squirting out of the corner to the point. Player fans on it, goes kind of back into the corner. He's fed the puck again. He zips it over to the right. The player there with now there's 2 seconds left.
Yep.
Just unloads a shot or a pass or whatever, firing it towards the net. And there's Cole Perfetti from Winnipeg. He's in there. He angles his stick perfectly. It hits his stick, deflects into the net. With 1.6 seconds left to send it into overtime. And then it goes 2 overtimes before Winnipeg wins. Adam Lowry gets a goal. Adam Lowry is a native of St. Louis. It was absolutely gripping. Unlike, say, the Golden State-Houston game, which was not really gripping.
It was more gripping than Denver Clippers.
It was certainly more gripping than Denver Clippers, and it was competitive.
Yeah.
Like there were times you could talk yourself into, oh, maybe Houston's making a run here, right? Houston will be interesting to watch this offseason because they have so many pieces, and yet, in the end,
they couldn't score.
They were held to 89, and that's been the season. That has been the issue. They can't score. I know everyone wants that. You know, Udoka is their head coach, a coach like him who's able to get you 89 points in a game seven against Golden State. Buddy Hield with 33. Curry didn't have a great first half, but he had 19 in the second half. And
we get Gobert and Draymond. Yay.
Now we got Gobert and Draymond. And there was a lot of Steven Adams, pining for Steven Adams over the weekend, certainly after games 5 and 6. In game seven, just for a little perspective, he had 7 rebounds, 3 points, was -9. Steven Adams was doesn't whatever. I like Steven Adams too. I like the toughness he brought as well. The real shocker was in the Pacers Cavs game, where the Pacers won that one, took game one from the Cavs, 121-112. No Darius Garland, but all of a sudden the Cavs look. What could happen there, you know?
Yeah, there's always that question of, like, the team that had the massive layoff, and obviously Garland not being there. But I thought the real big thing was when the game flipped and Cleveland was down for most of the game, they took over in the third quarter, you kind of thought, like, okay, Cleveland's just going to end up winning this game. And Indiana just, like, put pedal to the metal.
Well, Nembhard was great. He was absolutely great. And it's an interesting question. We talk about the big three here, right? Are the big three here really better than Halliburton, Siakam, and Nembhard, for example? Or are they roughly equivalent, you know? And honestly, like, it is sort of interesting. So much of the game is three-pointers, though. The Pacers, 19 of 36 from three.
Yep.
The Cavs, 9 of 38 from three. You know, who wins the game? Golden State shot well from three, 18 of 43.
I mean, it
three.
Does feel like now the NBA has just become an equation of who's hits more threes.
Yeah. All right, we got Chris Harrington coming up next. He's written a long piece about Isolo. We'll talk to him about that coming up next. And then we have other things we do want to get into today. Before then, I will tell you, if you are selling your home, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Josh and his team at Keller Williams Realty. This is a perfect time to sell your house. It's beautiful out there. People are starting to think about where they want to be with their kids in the fall, all of that. So if you're selling your house, just give Josh a call. Meet with him as I met with him. He's incredibly impressive. He'll tell you his system for selling your house, the marketing that he does. Also, no flexible fees, no upfront costs. Let you out of your contract at any time, of course. And Josh will give you a full price cash offer for your home if that's the way you want to go. Call him. He'll come out, take a look at your home. And it's not some anonymous, you know, robocall. Hey, would you like a offer for your home? No, this is Josh visiting your home and giving you a cash offer for the full market value of your home. Makes it easy peasy that way to sell your house. Again, it's Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington on the other side, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.